know, was a very wicked king on the throne in Israel. He had married wicked Jezebel, through whom Baal worship had come into the land of Israel. It is to that wicked, apostatizing King Ahab that Elijah was called and sent by Jehovah to prophesy God's word. And the very first prophecy which Elijah brought to Ahab was surprisingly brief. He appears in 1 Kings 17, suddenly in the palace of Ahab. And he speaks to Ahab 17 Hebrew words, in the name of the Lord. And as soon as he is finished, the Lord speaks to him and commands him to leave and go to the brook Cherith to hide there and to find safety. And yet, in that brief mission, the effect of it was to last for over 3.5 years. For Elijah indicated to Ahab there would be no rain in Israel until Elijah would pray again, and until that time there would be famine in the land. Not for 1 year, but Elijah said to Ahab, years. Leaving the palace then in Samaria, remember wearing the coat of camel's hair, looking as the prophet, he goes to the brook Cherith, where the Lord had told him to go for safety. But then, not only to the brook Cherith, in that same time period, also to a widow woman in Zarephath, whom the Lord spoke to, called her to take care of Elijah. While Elijah was serving the Lord provided for Elijah in a very unique way, even through the famine. Elijah was called to serve the Lord first. You must obey me. You must bring my word. You must follow my instructions. He must serve the Lord and trust that in that service, the Lord would provide his daily bread. And the Lord did, in a very remarkable way. And that's the application of the text to us, to the church. Jehovah, our covenant God, calls us to do our work as a church of Jesus Christ, to be faithful unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the church, to seek his kingdom and to obey his word first. And as we obey his word unconditionally and faithfully by faith alone, we must trust his promise. He will provide for us all that we need in soul, but also in body, so that we will lack nothing. Call your attention to the text under this theme, Jehovah provides for Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Notice that the Lord does that. He provided for Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, first of all, through severe testing. Then Jehovah also provides for them by remarkable miracles. And then thirdly, does that for our instruction. Notice in the text that both Elijah and the widow are severely tested by God. God had sent Elijah to the brook Cherith in a desert place, in complete isolation, we would say on the edge of society and civilization, there to eke out an existence in hiding. Elijah did not ask to go there. That was not on his list of top 10 places to go. That was the Lord's will. Elijah, you must go to the brook Cherith beyond Jordan. And it's only by faith in obedience to the word of the Lord that Elijah could see that place which was barren and nothing, and to see it as an oasis of fellowship with Jehovah, an oasis of a beautiful place of doing the will of the Lord. So denying himself, denying his pride, denying his own wisdom and will, he submitted to the hand of the Lord cheerfully and readily, as the angels do in heaven, and believed that that was the place he needed to go so that his ministry as the main prophet in Israel would send the clear message to Israel that they must separate themselves from sin. Separate themselves from the idolatry of Baal and the worship of the golden calves, and be holy as the Lord is holy. And so he continued there. But when the brook Cherith began to narrow as the famine progressed and then disappeared, the Lord sent him off to Zarephath in a country north of the land of Israel, called Zidon. There the Lord had spoken to a widow and prepared her to understand that when Elijah came, he would be taken care of by her. So he left the land of Canaan. That was also a testing for him to go find that poor widow in Zarephath. But then the poor widow is also tested. When Elijah meets her, at that exact moment in God's providence, she is collecting two sticks. She had one more meal to cook. She confesses to Elijah. That would be their last meal, after which surely they would have no more food and they would surely die. And it's exactly at that point that Elijah not only asks her for a glass of water, then the Lord, through Elijah, tests her. Now go with those two sticks and make that last meal. Make that last cake that you have in your kitchen, but bake it for me first. And then you may bake something for you and your son. And that's what you must do, because the promise of Jehovah, who has spoken to you, now whose servant will dwell with you for some time, Lord has spoken and said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that Jehovah sendeth rain upon the earth. Now go, obey, believe the promise, and make that loaf of bread the first one for me, really, for the Lord. Would she do that? This stranger dressed in a coat of camel's hair from the land of Israel. What authority did he have on her? Would she obey? Would she believe the promise? Would she do that? Risk. Take the risk and bake that first loaf of bread, not for herself, but for him. And not even take, as she delivered it to him, take a little piece out of it for herself and then give the rest to Elijah. No, the whole thing for him first. Did they obey? The text teaches that, yes, they did, but not by themselves, not by nature did they obey. Elijah was also a man of like passions, as you and I are. And also would have rebelled against the word of the Lord for the indignity of the location where he had to sit for many months. And then would have objected to being sent out of the land of Canaan. Why Tyre and Sidon to those uncircumcised heathen people? The prophet of the Lord sent over there? Why not to the land of Judah? Surely there's a place in Jerusalem to be hid. Elijah doesn't question the Lord's wisdom, the Lord's will, the Lord's word. He goes. But not by his own strength. Same with the widow by nature. She was a Zidonian, an idol worshiper, belonging to those who were the Canaanites, cursed by Jehovah. What part did she have in Israel's God? By nature, she would have also rejected the word of the Lord, rejected the promise about the barrel of wheat and the cruse of oil. She would have turned to her gods. She would not have baked for Elijah first. And yet the remarkable thing is they endure those severe trials. They obey the word of the Lord. Elijah sits at the brook Cherith, receiving his food, watching the stream narrow, wondering what will happen to me. And wondering, will the Lord actually care for me? And the widow bakes the first loaf for Elijah at his command. They obey. The trial yields the peaceable fruit of obedience by the grace of God. That obedience is confirmed by remarkable miracles which the Lord used to provide for Elijah and the poor widow. The Lord fulfilled His promise to them. In the first place, God amazingly fed Elijah by the brook Cherith by, of all the animals to pick, all the birds to pick, the raven. Lord had to find a way to deliver the food from the cities where there were food or places where there were food and deliver it to Elijah. His delivery system were these ravens. By our observations of how ravens or their cousins, the crows, operate on the sides of the road, even with roadkill, we understand very clearly, even the children can understand when they see the crows fighting on the side of the road with the roadkill. These animals do not share. That's not their nature. As God created them that way and sustains that nature in His providence. They're in their own animal way, not in a sinful way, but in their own animal way, they're selfish. They're not going to share the booty which they have discovered on the side of the road. And yet that's exactly the bird that God chooses to bring the food to Elijah. Every day, in the morning, in the evening. Bread and meat. A full course meal, we would say. In the morning and the evening. Day after day after day. Without fail. At the time of the morning sacrifice in the temple and the time of the evening sacrifice in the temple. God fulfilled His promise to supply Elijah's needs. That's remarkable. That's amazing. And the same thing happens even in a more amazing way when Elijah comes to the widow's house, asks her for the glass of water and then the loaf of bread first. What happens when the widow returns to her kitchen after delivering the loaf to Elijah, going back into her kitchen? What does she find in the barrel of wheat and in the cruse? She finds and looks, and lo and behold, there's more wheat there again. And in the jar, there's some more oil again. I can bake some more bread for my son and me. And not just once or twice, the text teaches, for many, many days until rain came upon the earth again and the famine was gone. Day after day, the Lord gave to her just enough bread, just enough wheat, just enough oil for the day, for Elijah, for her son, and herself. Yes, the Lord provided them literally, daily bread just enough bread for the day. The Lord did not send Elijah to the brook Cherith and then have large mounds of supplies stashed away there at the brook Cherith from which he could live for months and months and months. The widow did not have delivered to the side of her house this large grain bin and many barrels of olive oil from which then she could make bread for many days, for many months. No, God gave them just enough for each day. That's it. Just enough, as he had promised. For that was sufficient to support the work of his prophet, work of the gospel, and the coming of his kingdom, daily bread. And similarly, Jehovah provides for the church as she labors faithfully and puts his word first and obeys that word and trusts he will supply all our needs. God provides his church the resources to preach the gospel. The Lord provides the resources to continue that church in the generation. We must obey his word, preach the word, to do the work of the church, to seek the kingdom of God first, and all that those commands involve. Believing, just as the barrel of wheat and the cruse of oil did not fail for Elijah and the poor widow and her son, so Jehovah in his faithfulness and his sure promises for the sake of Christ will never fail to provide us all that we need in body and soul according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And yet, beloved, the greater miracles in the text are not God's dealings with the ravens or how God made the barrel of wheat to continue to maintain a supply of just enough bread for each day and so also with the cruse of oil. What God did in the hearts of Elijah and the poor widow and her son. Those are the great miracles. That's astonishing. They obeyed what they hadn't seen yet. They didn't see months and months of daily bread yet, and yet they believed the word of the Lord. And they did that only because of the miracle of God's grace in them, working in them. Yes, Elijah was born and raised in Israel, in the area of Gilead, to be specific. But that in itself did not guarantee that he was a child of God. By nature, he was also a sinner. Except for the grace of God, he also would have been bowing down to Baal and the golden images beside. By God's grace, God made Elijah humble, obedient, broke his pride, his distrust, and made him a faithful servant unto Jehovah and to the difficult work of bringing the true word of God to an apostatizing nation and to a king who would not serve the Lord, but would rather only serve Baal. And that same grace of God also worked in the poor widow of Zarephath. By nature, from her youth, she was a worshiper of Baal. She had been trained from her youth to hate the God of Israel, to hate the Jehovah of whom she had heard in her youth. They knew the history of Israel coming into the land of Canaan, but she had been taught as a little girl to hate that Jehovah, to hate his people. And yet when God speaks to her from heaven, one of my servants is coming. And then when that servant speaks to her, God was working in her heart. God had opened her heart. God had prepared that heart so that when Elijah speaks the word of Jehovah and that beautiful promise of, you do this first, seek the kingdom first, really, and God promises to provide you daily bread. By the grace of God, she believes that, though she hadn't seen that supply of bread and stuff that was coming in the weeks and months ahead. By faith, she could see it. God would provide for her and for her son what God said. That greater miracle in them was based, of course, upon the heart of the promise which God gave to them in Jesus Christ. You can be sure that when Elijah was in the house of the widow, he didn't spend his time saying nothing to them, but he taught them the word of God. He taught them what happened in the temple in Jerusalem. He taught them about the Day of Atonement and how the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. He taught them about the sacrifices in Jerusalem. He taught them and preached to them the Old Testament gospel of type and shadow, pointing them forward to the Christ who is coming, by whose blood we will be washed from our sin and from our idolatry, and by whom we shall be made heirs of the righteousness which is by faith alone. Given that salvation, not by works, not because of who we are, but by grace alone. For the sake of Christ alone, that they had and received those undeserved, those unmerited blessings to be loved and to be cared for by Jehovah. That was the gospel to them, especially the widow. And in those miracles which they received of God's care over them, they received the testimony that God had set His love upon them, which is remarkable upon that poor widow way out there in Zarephath. Yes, even that one, whom God knows by name, God set His love in Christ from eternity, and she would not go lost. But He sent His servant to get that sheep and her son to bring them into His fellowship in that Old Testament way. Yes, she too was a recipient of salvation in Jesus Christ. She too was also rich towards Jehovah. And that was an important message to Israel in those days. Israel thought, we're in the land of Canaan. We are the covenant people of God. Everything's fine. Doesn't matter how we live. We can worship the golden calves. It's okay. Through the prophet Elijah, over there in Zarephath, the Lord teaches that salvation is not because of our genealogy. It was not because Israel lived on that real estate in Palestine. Salvation is by God's grace alone. A sovereign, electing, particular grace. God is merciful to whomsoever He will be merciful. That's the Jehovah and the Jehovah alone whom Israel must serve. For Elijah and the poor widow, that's the God they served. They obeyed His word. And God gave to them the miraculous signs of that daily bread, those miraculous provisions of daily bread as a sign of His covenant faithfulness to them, of His promise to them in Christ. That leads us to understand, beloved, that's for our instruction. The text makes it clear to you and me, we must obey the word and the truth of Jehovah. As we gather together in the prayer day service to remember that God is in control of the growing season, and to pray for His blessing upon the church through the means of receiving our daily bread through another growing season. We're reminded we don't live by bread alone. Deuteronomy chapter 8 teaches we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Jehovah. That's first. Our meat and drink as God's covenant people and citizens of His kingdom is not food, the things of this earth. That's not first. No, like Christ, so also our meat and drink is the Word of God, the commandments of God, His truth. We are to seek His kingdom, Jesus commanded us. Seek that kingdom first, principally first. The Word of God comes first. And that's made very plain through the command to the widow. Widow, as she turned to go get the water, now also bake that cake for me first. Not for you, for me. That's what the Lord calls us to do as well. Go and do that. Your labors. First, for me. The first fruits of your week, of your time, for me in my house. The first fruits of your day with me in prayer before my word. The first fruits of your wages. For me, for the support of the proclamation of my word through my servants like Elijah. First for me. That obedience to the word of God requires of us not a conditional obedience or an obedience based on the circumstances or based on our approval first. Elijah doesn't negotiate with Jehovah and say to the Lord, well, Lord, I will be thy servant, but first, before I go to the brook Cherith, give me an inventory list of all the provisions that have been provided there on the edge of civilization, on the edge of the desert. Prove to me by sight that it's all prepared for before I go into the palace of Ahab and tell him it's not going to rain for many years until I pray again. He didn't negotiate with the Lord. I would like this kind of a house to live in, these kind of conditions before I go to Zidon, see that widow. Didn't do that. We may do that either. Widow didn't. She didn't say to Elijah, well, wait a minute. I'm not going to make that cake for you first. You prove to me that that barrel of wheat is going to be full when I get back after I've given you the cake. And prove to me that jar of oil will also be full. And when you prove that to me first, well, then I'll bake the cake for you and deliver it to you first. He didn't do that, nor may we. We may demand of the Lord before we, as we hear His word, seek my kingdom first, serve me with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Then in response, say to Him, yes, Lord, but first, prove to me that the money will be there, that the health will be there. As a young man and woman seek to know the Lord's will for them as to when to be married, and they stand before the word of the God, the word of the Lord that commands them to marry in the Lord, they do not and may not say, well, Lord, first prove to us that we can decide and when to get married. First prove to us that we're going to have enough money for the first 5 or 6 years of the marriage. First guarantee to us a beautiful house that we like and so many vehicles and vacations, and then we will obey thy word, seek thee, seek thy will, and serve thee in marriage. No. when we raise our children and commit ourselves to Christian education. Lord, first prove to me that all the tuition will be paid for this child and that child. All the money's in the bank. The tuition that will be paid for this child from K through grade 12. And then I will support Christian education. Not the way it works. That's not the way the Lord teaches us how it works in 1 Kings 17. We don't say, well, if God serves me first and satisfies what I need to know before I commit myself to His Word, well, then I will obey Him. Then I will serve Him. No. If that's the way it works, we would never obey Him. We would never be satisfied. We would never have enough of this, enough of that, enough money, and all the rest. It would never work. And it may not work that way. Are we God to tell Jehovah what to do and set down conditions for Him to fulfill, to satisfy our desires? By nature, we're like that. By nature, we're like the ravens. But that's not our life as His dear children. Our life that we trust He will provide for us as we keep His Word. We must trust, no matter what may happen this year, famine, poverty, some calamity that the Lord has willed for the coming of Christ hits the country and us, no matter what may happen, we obey Him. We trust in Him. We do our work in the service of His kingdom, trusting He will provide all that we need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so for faithfulness to that, we realize we need the Lord to work a wonder of grace also in us by His Spirit. By nature, we're slow of heart to believe, to embrace those promises of God and to believe them and out of them to obey His Word, standing upon that sure promise on the rock, Jesus Christ, and then to seek His kingdom first. Not by nature. Need great God by His grace to work in us a deliverance from our unbelief and from our pride and from our living by sight, to deliver us into the life, being the little children of our Heavenly Father who obey Him and trust His hand of grace and providence and blessing. We need to be washed by the blood of Christ who died as a rebel for the rebellious, have the guilt removed by His blood, have His obedience imputed to us by faith alone, and then also have the Spirit to work in us that obedience and trust in Him, that have, as we have been washed by His blood, purchased by Jehovah, by the blood of His only begotten Son, then to be sure that if that's what God paid to redeem us from sin, then surely He will give to us everything that we need. He will not withhold from us. Whom He has purchased with the blood of His only begotten Son, will not withhold from us what is necessary to fulfill our salvation. Beloved, if God can make the greedy, selfish raven share food with Elijah twice a day, no less, if God can make a bucket of wheat, a barrel of wheat, and a cruse of oil never fail for many months in that poor widow's house, then surely God can and God does work in us miraculously by His Spirit to see the blessedness of our salvation in Jesus Christ, the fellowship that we have with Jehovah, and then to see the Word which He gives to us to obey Him, to seek that kingdom first, surely He will work that in you and me. And then cause us to see the blessedness of that obedience and the joy of serving the Lord in His kingdom and covenant for His glory. He will. And that's helpful, beloved, as we face from our perspective, since we don't know what tomorrow will bring, when we face the uncertainty of the future. Will the growing season this year be a good one or a very bad one? We don't know today. The other things we may be thinking about regarding the future. Will our country go to war? Will our boys have to be sent off to fight? Will there be calamities that beset the nation? Or closer to home? How will the health go this year? Or how will the job go? Will there be a pay raise or will there be a pay cut? But our prayer, beloved, is no matter what the Lord may do tomorrow in the future, whatever the troubles may be through which the Lord may send us in His providence, we can be sure that for the sake of Christ, God will grant to His church, grant to His people, will grant to us His grace and Holy Spirit to obey His word and to seek His kingdom first. He will give us the grace by His word to be faithful to His word, to His truth. Faithful serve that word in the stations and callings which He gives you in life. Grace to serve that word first, not down the line somewhere, but no, first. And grace to do that, and while we do that, to expect that our faithful Jehovah, who is ever merciful and gracious, will provide for us everything that we need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.